Institute, on air and online, this is a special edition of Intersection.
Hello and welcome to a special broadcast of KBIA's Intersection. I'm Ryan Pamielner. Tonight we're live from the rotunda of the state capitol in Jefferson City. Just minutes ago, Governor Jay Nixon delivered his State of the State address, where he spoke about a number of important issues coming up this session, including what to do about infrastructure funding, possible changes to laws based on the issues that came out of Ferguson, Missouri. And he also pledged $71 to $150 million to public education, depending on whether the state expands Medicaid. Joining me now to parse through Governor Nixon's proposals, Senator Rob Schaff is a Republican from St. Joseph who represents the 34th Senate District. Senator Schaff, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
And Representative Kip Kendrick is here. He's a Democrat from Columbia who represents the 45th District.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks for being here. Yeah. And so you, too, can also be a part of our conversation tonight by going to our website, kbia.org, and following the link for Intersection. There you'll find live video to the feed of our program and an online chat where you can share your thoughts with us and chat with others in the audience. You can also email us at intersection@kbia.org or tweet at us at intersectkbia. So let's get started. I guess I'll put this question to each of you one at a time. Let's start with you, Senator Schaff. What would you say was the most important takeaway from the governor's remarks tonight?
Well, it was a collage of items. I don't know if there was a most important takeaway.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't pick out one thing to say was the most important. I will say the thing that stands out the most was the love expressed for the First Lady, Mrs. Nixon, and also the absolute admiration for the veteran who was in the audience. I wrote his name down, and I can't remember. The sergeant who served in World War II during the Battle of the Bulge. I mean, it was obvious that he was well-loved. And then the third one was when he gave praise to our police officers, and there was a huge, long-standing ovation for the law enforcement, and those three things really got my attention.
Sure. What about you, Representative Kendrick?
Yeah, the three things that really, I guess, caught my attention was education, funding education, and the importance of education in a high-tech, highly globalized economy. Funding it all the way through from preschool all the way through higher education. The issue of health care and how Medicaid and reform and transformation of Medicaid fits into the picture and what that might mean for the state of Missouri. And also infrastructure issues, I think, was another important issue that he touched on tonight, kind of a key part. And, you know, it was nice to get a plug for the University of Missouri in Lafferty Hall. The bonding bill that Representative Chris Kelly and so many others worked hard on to get past this last year. So those are some takeaways.
Right. So, the education funding, part of that is tied to whether or not the state expands Medicaid or not. I guess we can talk about that here in a minute. But first, focusing on education, I guess, that $50 million total that was announced a little bit before the speech tonight, and some education officials in the state have said that's not really enough. We need more than that to fund, get the levels up to where they need to be. So is that a concern, I guess? And you know, what are your thoughts on what we can do about public education funding, I guess?
Well, you know, I think that you said it yourself, that it depends on this Medicaid expansion idea. Well, we're not going to expand Medicaid mainly because we can't afford to. And I just don't understand why he would think that if we expand Medicaid, he'll have actually more money for education, because one thing that they never take into account of is the cost of administering the Medicaid program only has a 50-50 match under the expansion. Nobody ever talks about that. And this whole idea that it will actually bring more revenue to the state, I think, is folly, especially in future years. There's just no way that we can afford that. So the other thing is, last year, we put forth a fix to the problem of school transfers. And the governor vetoed the bill purely because it allowed some kids who didn't have a place to go in from their failing school district into surrounding districts would have the option of going to a non-religious, private school. And And so protecting the education environment or the education establishment rather than the kids, it just doesn't, you know, jibe with me that, you know, that he would then come to us and ask us to fix that problem again. So I don't know. Yeah.
Well, I want to go back to the Medicaid expansion. You kind of very confidently said, we're not going to expand Medicaid.
I can say that crystal clear. We are not going to expand Medicaid. I've said that so many times because I just hate to see us waste time on that issue when we could be talking about things that are possible. You know, somebody once said that politics is the art of the possible. Medicaid expansion is not possible. Because there are too many conservative senators like myself who will filibuster it and kill it. It doesn't have an opportunity to pass.
Okay. I don't know. Representative Kendrick, I know your predecessor, Chris Kelly, was pretty passionate about this. What are your thoughts on the expansion of Medicaid and possibility of it, I guess?
Right. And let me first start by saying I've got a tremendous amount of respect for Senator Schauf, and I can appreciate some of the work that he's done in the Senate over the years. But I do respectfully disagree with him on this issue. I do believe that we can expand Medicaid and reform and transform it at the same time, and do so in such a way that not only saves the state money, but also provides more general revenue for the state of Missouri. I believe it was 2 years ago, is Representative Jay Barnes, Republican representative from here in Cole County, put together an internal study looking at the effect of Medicaid expansion on the state and what it would mean for general revenue funds. And even after the federal reimbursement rate is capped at 90% over a 10-year period, so we're talking about 2021, the federal government's reimbursing the state 90% for the Medicaid expansion. At that point, the state is going to be making $42 million a year because of the amount of people that we can transfer that are currently on our Medicaid rolls, we can transfer over to the federal Medicaid rolls. So we're actually saving $42 million a year in general revenue by making that transition and that expansion. And that's just in general revenues. That does include the multiplier and the 24,000 jobs that it would create around the state of Missouri. That's not the economic impact of creating high-paid, highly skilled jobs across the state. The general revenue is $42 million. The saved for the state and the effect on the statewide economy is much larger than that.
Senator Schauf, I see you taking some notes.
Yeah. I just have to. You know, and there have been several other states that have expanded Medicaid. Every single one of those was sort of over budget. They expected that they would have a certain number of people go into the program, and every single state that expanded was way far more than that and far more expensive than what they thought. Because of this Woodwork effect, people who now have private insurance end up on Medicaid at the expense of the taxpayers. The other thing is, I saw Representative Barnes's study, and he didn't take into account the 50-50 cost, the 50-50 match for the additional administration. And you know, it's going to take a whole lot of state workers to administer the program for another 300,000 Missourians. I mean, I don't know how many, but it's going to be many million. I imagine that probably you would be hard-pressed to get that 40-some million dollars in savings. Next year, if we don't expand it this year, even if we do, next year it will be $55 million additional dollars that it will cost us for our 5% match. The next year it'll be $110 million. Then it'll ramp up over the succeeding 3 years to $220 million. Where are we going to get $220 million unless we, you know, take it out of education? The thing is, that's using the governor's own figures of how much it was. Last year, when I was on the Appropriations Committee, the proposal was for $1.7 billion for the expansion for 1 year. Then in 2014, I said last year, I meant in the previous year. Then last year, it was $2.2 billion. In other words, it went up $500 million in the estimate in 1 year. So when I hear the governor say $2 billion, and already it was $2.2 billion, which is 10% higher than what he said, I just don't have a confidence that I would want to put our government into that, you know, kind of a position of
So risk. One of the concerns that Governor Nixon introduced of, you know, he gave the example of a hospital in the Springfield area that said, we're going to have to lay off some employees because the Medicaid has not been expanded. We're going to hire out of Arkansas instead, where it has been expanded. You know, many hospitals have voiced those kinds of concerns. This is going to hurt their bottom line. What to those concerns? And
well, the only reason why they talk about that is that the DSH payments, the disproportionate share hospital payments, will be reduced. But they've even put that off so that there wouldn't even be any reduction for another
federal
year.
Government has.
And the first year was only $96 million of reduction. Well, you know, that's a drop in the bucket compared to the billions of dollars that they get from the program. Mm-hmm. You know, if you go on my Facebook page, which I have posted a whole lot of Form 990s from several of the hospitals. I don't know if I got the one that he mentioned, the Ozark Hospital in Springfield. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, several of these hospitals pay their administrators over $1 million. The one hospital in St. Louis pays over $6 million to its CEO. And there are, I mean, a dozen hospitals in Missouri that pay their CEOs over $1 million. And many, many of their administrators make $400,000 or $500,000. What I would say is that this is outrageous. For us, there, what this is becoming is the taxpayer bailout of the CEO's salaries is what it is. I mean, I think if most Missourians knew how much the administrators of our hospitals were making, they would be outraged. When most people are making, you know, $40,000, the average family income.
I need to remind our listeners, this is Intersection, a program of KBIA and the Reynolds Journalism Institute. I'm Ryan Fumiolner, and tonight we're live from the rotunda of the state capitol in Jefferson City, where Governor Jay Nixon just gave his State of the State address and House Speaker John Deal gave the Republican response. Joining us to discuss what was said are Senator Rob Schoff, a Republican from St. Joseph, who represents the 34th Senate District, and Representative Kip Kendrick, a Democrat from Columbia, who represents the 45th District. We'd love to hear from you and our audience as well. What do you think about Governor Nixon's State of the State address? We'd like to hear what you think. Give us a call, or just go to our website, rather, kbia.org, not taking calls today. Follow the link for Intersection. There you'll find a live video feed of our program and an online chat where you can share your thoughts with us and chat with others in the audience. You can also email intersection@kbia.org or tweet us at intersectkbia. Well, unfortunately, we have to move on from that because there's a lot else to talk about. One of the big issues, of course, is all the things that came out, all the issues that came out of Ferguson this year. And there have already been many bills that have been introduced that try to pick at different issues that have been brought up by many people out of Ferguson. The governor mentioned a few of them tonight. I'll start with you, Representative Kendrick, on what you think may be possible, like we talked about earlier, out of those and what we heard from the governor tonight.
Yeah, Ferguson was a difficult issue for our entire state, and what I believe the state needs to do is needs to be ready, needs to be prepared. I don't think we've seen unrest like this in the state since probably the 70s. And the takeaway in my part, in my point, is we need to be better prepared as a state on how to deal with these issues. And you know, it'll be. There are things that we can do here in the legislature, such as some of the court reforms that the governor was talking about, and I know that's being discussed in the Senate as well as the House. But also, you know, I think the reality of the situation is not all of these issues are going to be able to be fixed here in the legislature. Mm-hmm. I think that they're deeper than that.
That we did hear that from Representative Deal and his response, that a lot of it can't be up to the legislature, and it won't all be done in a year either. That's pretty unrealistic. But what do you think? Did you hear anything that you think is achievable?
I did. I heard the governor say that he wanted to do the court reforms. And I think that the people in Ferguson feel oppressed. And their interaction with government is oftentimes not a positive one. And so, like, for example, the fact that many of these municipalities get a lot of their income from tickets and citations. Senator Schmidt calls it taxation by citation, where, you know, people be driving along I-70 or one of the other highways, and this municipality will pull them over, give them a ticket, touch the yellow line, some, you know, minor offense. Next thing you know, they have a summons to be in court. They may not be able to afford child care. They don't make their court appointment. They have a warrant against them. They don't, you know, show up, they get arrested, they lose their job, they end up you know, not being able to make ends meet. Mm-hmm. I mean,
it is
impressive. I think that we can fix that. But I think the problem is so much more deep. And I think that, you know, he hit upon it. The education is a big problem. And I hate to say it, but the school system in St. Louis is just failing. And so is the one in Kansas City. And so I think that we have got to fix the education system and bring it up to snuff. Mm-hmm. And then he also talked about economic development and giving everybody an opportunity to work. I think that's critically important. As a conservative, I myself feel that the problem, a lot of it lies with just the welfare state that we've developed over time and people's dependency. Rather than creating independence, we're creating dependence on government. And I think that's part of the problem also.
Yeah, I wonder, Representative Kinnear, some of your thoughts on that. Again, the governor did spend a lot of time talking about economic development. We heard UAW workers hoot and hollering during the speech. So what do you think about that and how that might work? And as a Democrat, you know, trying to have your influence on these as you can. We'll talk maybe a little bit later about, you know, the makeup of the House and Senate, right, and how that's going to affect, right, things. But yeah, what do you think about what we can do here and what the governor laid out tonight?
Just to go back to what Senator Schumpf is talking about, as far as education, you, mm-hmm, know, a lot of it, we talk about a failing public school system in St. Louis. But at the same time, I think what we need to make sure is part of the conversation is that we're 47th in the nation in education funding coming from the state. We're low 40s in teacher pay as well. And, you know, these issues, I think, really do come back to the fact that we need to fully invest in public education. We keep talking about fully funding the education, our foundation formula. There's talk about, well, we'll try to get closer this year. At some point, we just need to quit talking about fully funding it and just do it. Just get it done. Mm-hmm. And, you know, last year, we passed tax cuts here in the state of Missouri. You know, I'm not going to sit up here and say that we need to raise taxes and people like to pay taxes. But what I will say is we're a low-tax state. I don't know that we necessarily need to cut taxes. I think there's a direct correlation between cutting taxes and what you have in your general revenue funds in order to be properly funding education. Continued cuts to taxes that benefit the wealthiest Missourians will ultimately mean less money for our public schools and ultimately mean less money for our urban education.
Yeah, Senator Schumpf, we didn't hear a whole lot on the governor talking about tax cuts. We just had some last year. Yeah. Some of what I read currently is we're kind of waiting to see what happens, right? We see what's happened in Kansas where there have been more severe cuts. What do you think the odds are of
tax? You just can't compare, yeah, Missouri to Kansas. Yeah. I mean, what we did was we want to take each year over 5 years, starting in after at least 3 years, of taking the tax rate, the maximum tax rate, all the way each year from 6% down 0.1% per year to 5.9 and then 5.8 and then 5.7. And we won't do it unless the average increase in revenue is $150 million at least per year for 3 years, which before we would even do that.
Kind of keeps up with inflation, basically, right?
The point of it is that, you know, it is believed that the number one factor that makes businesses want to choose a state to go to is the tax environment. And Missouri needs to be more attractive to bring those jobs, to put people like those in Ferguson to work. And so our goal by cutting the maximum tax rate was to make Missouri more attractive to businesses so that we could, you know, have that economic development to help the people.
Right. We're a low tax state at this point. I believe that there are, what, three or four states that potentially have lower taxes than us. At some point, again, we need to get back to funding education because employers, businesses, entrepreneurs are going to look to go where there's an educated workforce. You know, it's hard to graduate high school these days and go out and get a good paying, high paying job. You need more education. You need additional training beyond that. We need to invest in education all the way from, you know, preschool all the way through higher education. And, again, I think that will draw just as many employers as continuing to cut our taxes.
Well, you know, every year we've increased funding for education, and almost every year the governor has withheld the money. Mm-hmm. And it's so frustrating because, you know, we keep increasing, and he keeps withholding. The reason that he does is because the money just doesn't come in, where our economy is not nearly as strong as what the propaganda would have you believe. I mean, if you look nationally, our labor participation rate is the lowest it's been in many years, even though the unemployment rate, and I heard the governor say that we have a low unemployment rate. That's great. But if people are working as, you know, baristas and waitresses and low-paying jobs instead of high-paying jobs, they're still hurting out there. And when I saw all of the auto workers that had been bussed in just to pad the gallery for the governor's State of the State speech, it just made me sad that that's what he had to do when there are so many Missourians out there hurting and not being able to make ends meet. Now, I see him in my district. I mean, it is not like what you heard in the gallery, people cheering about how great the economy is. That is not how it is. It is hard out there.
So what solutions are there to address these problems you're talking about, you know, getting less low-paying jobs?
Well, I mean,
more higher-paying jobs.
Well, you know, what we have to do is not just on the state level. It also has to be through Congress and actually even the central banks of the world. But, you know, we've always done what we can to, you know, to make Missouri more attractive for jobs, have tax credits that make sense, and get rid of some of the tax credits that are stealing money away from education right now, like the low-income housing and the historic preservation tax credits that are just eating up our budget, and then to try to have an educated workforce so that we can attract business to our state to hire people and make it a more business-friendly environment. I myself would be in favor of right to work. You know, I think businesses would tend to choose states that are right to work states.
I need to take a moment to remind our audience this is Intersection, a program of KBIA and the Reynolds Journalism Institute. I'm Ryan Famuliner, and tonight we're live from the Rotunda of the state capitol in Jefferson City, where Governor Jay Nixon just gave his State of the State address and House Speaker John Deal gave the Republican response. Joining us here to discuss what was said are Senator Rob Schoff, a Republican from St. Joseph, who represents the 34th Senate District, Representative Kip Kendrick, a Democrat from Columbia, who represents the 45th District, and now we're joined by Phil Brooks. He's the director of the State Government Reporting Program at the Missouri School of Journalism. He's been covering Missouri politics for more than three decades. That's what he was doing up until now during this show, and now he's able to join us. Phil, thanks for jumping in here. And for you and our audience, what do you think about Governor Nixon's State of the State address? We'd like to hear what you think. Just go to our website, kbia.org, and follow the link for Intersection. There you'll find a live video feed of our program and an online chat where you can share your thoughts with us and chat with others in the audience. You can also email intersection@kbia.org or tweet us at intersectkbia. So, Phil, you've joined us now. We talked so far about Medicaid expansion. We've talked a little bit about, education, Ferguson, and that sort, some of those few things. What are some of the other major points you saw tonight? We haven't talked about MoDOT funding yet. We heard a little bit about that tonight from the governor.
Well, he didn't propose anything. He just said, here's the problem. Here are the ideas people have talked about. But the state's still lacking leadership of a proposal. I've not seen that from the Transportation Department. It didn't come from the governor this evening. We have not seen anything specific coming from the legislature, either Republican or Democratic side. But I will tell you what surprised me about this speech. Surprised. I kind of had a heads up that it was happening. This was a speech that started and ended with extending an olive branch to Republicans in the General Assembly. But he's going to be up on the third floor more often. Now, both Republicans and Democrats have really criticized this guy for being disengaged from the process. I was hearing a little bit, maybe more than a little bit, that he plans to be engaged. Now, as Tom Dempsey was telling me the other day, you know, actions speak louder than words, mm-hmm. So it'll depend on what he really does. Yeah, but this was a conciliatory speech, I think.
Yeah, because that was last year, the tone very much was somewhat confrontational with Republicans. I think a lot of people were watching to see what would happen this year. Did you feel confronted today?
Well, I've been saying for quite a while now that we have a supermajority that is a supermajority on steroids, and we can literally pass any bill over his objection that we want to, if the Republicans can stay together. then the governor only has one choice, and that is to work with us so that he can actually have some input into the process, you know, before we override his veto. Because otherwise, that he knows that that's what's going to happen because we did it with the tax bill.
Golly, Senator, I'm sure you have not forgotten the tone of the governor's speech a year ago on Medicaid. He virtually was saying that you Republicans were endangering the health of elderly people. It was a really strong attack against Republicans for endangering the lives of elderly. We didn't hear that tonight.
Well, I think that's, you know, he knows that he has to work with us. And I think he also knows that we're not going to expand Medicaid. I was disappointed to hear him use the old saw that the $2 billion goes, you know, to Washington. We're a receiver state. We get more money back from the federal government than what we send in. And that's not going to change whether we expand Medicaid or not. So even if we don't expand Medicaid, we still get back more than we send in. It isn't possible that any dollars are going to other states. It's not like the federal government is going to spend a certain number of dollars, and if we don't take them, those will go to other states. When those other states expand Medicaid, they get the dollars. Even Forbes magazine came out just this week saying that that is, you know, a specious argument. And I just hate to see it continue to be used since it's so wrong.
Representative Kendrick, I wonder, getting back to that idea of the governor trying to basically extend the olive branch, find some way to work. You've joined this. If it's a supermajority on steroids, you're the minority that's shrinking, right? And so, what do you think about this tactic, the way the governor approached the speech tonight? And also, you know, what are you going to bring to the legislature to try to get your, you know, impact in there?
Right. Well, yes, that's the million-dollar question, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I understood the reality before I got into this. I'd had a lot of conversations with Representative Kelly and a lot of the local delegates on both sides of the aisle. I knew what, to a certain extent, the limitations that were going to be placed on me by being a freshman member of a super minority party. And it is a bit overwhelming at times, to be honest with you. I am naive enough to believe that I can still push legislation and push some good ideas that are bipartisan in nature, and that you know, I'm willing to work with anybody who wants to help make the state a better place. And I know that sounds kind of cliche, and probably you hear that a lot from Democrats, but I truly mean it. You know, it's part of being in this House, and it's part of being in Jefferson City, wanting to work across the aisle. And my predecessor, Chris, really was a master at it. He was, I have a lot to learn from other people in the House on both sides of the aisle that do a great job of working bipartisanly. So,
May I throw in?
Sure, go ahead.
I honestly believe in my heart that every legislator in the building feels exactly the way Representative Kendrick said, that we all want to do what's best for the people of Missouri and for our constituents. And, you know, some of my best friends in the legislature are Democrats. And I believe that 99% of the issues that we deal with are bipartisan issues, and we work together, especially in the Senate. And, you know, I agree with you. That is the way we feel.
Phil, I see your wheel spinning over there.
There is another divide that we need to be talking about, and that is African-American black legislators. We had one black member who walked out in the middle of his speech tonight. Another, Jamila Nasheed, senator from St. Louis, called what Jay Nixon said about Ferguson to be simply a smokescreen to cover over what he did in the immediate reaction to the grand jury indictment of Ferguson. There is a deep divide among black legislators in this General Assembly, with their own party in some ways, with this governor. There's resolution in the Senate to remonstrate against him, call him on to resign. There is some racial tensions in this General Assembly at a level that I've not seen in some period of time. That
may
be an issue this session.
Yeah, what kind of implications might we see with that? I mean, again, mostly Democratic, probably, you know, so that, again, the influence you can have on a lot of sponsored bills.
I don't think that it's African-American legislator versus Caucasian legislator at all. I think it might have been them versus Nixon and how they feel about him, but But I just have to say that I get along great with all the members of the Senate.
Oh, I don't mean that it's a personal thing. And in fact, the senator here has been, I think, one of the advocates of talking about controlling some of the police stuff that is going on in this state. So there's a little bit of a kindred. I mean, you're a co-sponsor of the death penalty study.
Yes, I am.
Issue
I am.
That Democrats have been pushing for and black legislators have been pushing for. So I don't think this is a partisan issue. I don't think it's a personal issue. But I think it is a mistake if legislators and we reporters do not realize that some very deep emotions, some deep concerns have been triggered out of Ferguson that is before this General Assembly. In the next 4 months, we're going to see how they react to it.
Was there anything in the speech tonight that was a message to any legislators that maybe our general audience didn't catch? You know what I mean? Like, there's some internal communications, right, that maybe, you know, for a general audience, things are more overt. But was there anything, you know, like, in regard to the Fergusons, for example, I know many people were listening to see if there was anything the governor would give hints as to what he might veto or not veto if it were passed. Did you get anything like that?
I heard him say that he thought that we should reform the deadly force laws. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know that Senator Nasheed has introduced a bill that would do just that. And so that might have been a message to her specifically that he is, you know, supportive of that. I can't remember exactly what her legislation proposed, but you know what? We're going to look at that stuff. And I think that, like I said earlier, I think that the people in Ferguson feel oppressed. That's the problem, and it's multifactorial, and we're going to be addressing a lot of those things.
Another perennial non-starter that the governor focused on tonight was ethics reform. So is it going to be a non-starter again this year?
No. Senator Richard has already introduced a bill, and so have I, and so have multiple bills in the House.
But will it get enough support, do you think?
I believe that there will be an ethics reform bill this year. I can't swear to it, of course, but I believe that there will be.
Phil, what's your let's go with you, Representative Kendrick.
I do hear a lot of talk about it, and you know, I am somewhat optimistic that we can move forward, but a lot of the talk revolves around limiting lobbyist gifts. And I believe that's part of it, definitely. But that's not the only piece. We need substantial campaign finance reform. We are the only state in the nation that has no limits on lobbyist gifts and no limits on campaign finance gifts to legislators. And I believe that it's time. It's got to be part of the. It has to be part of the solution. You know, we can't just look at gifts alone. We've got to look at the limitless giving that is currently going on right now. A $1 million check being written, several $100,000 checks being written. That changes things, and it really does. As the governor said, I do fully agree with him here, it does erode the confidence of the public.
I have to agree 100% with Representative Kendrick. He is right on the money. We need, you know, I've introduced a bill already that would totally put a stop to lobbyist gifts. And I think we need to stop the revolving door of lobbyists, you know, or of legislators becoming lobbyists and getting jobs. I agree with that. I agree that we need campaign finance reform. And, you know, we've got to make it so that the people have more trust in the integrity of their government. Because right now, I don't think they really have it.
Phil, I see you kind of sighing. Because I do feel like every time I talk to a legislator, they all say things in this vein that, of course, you want, you know, on a personal level, this seems like it's what's right. But
I hate to be the journalist skeptic curmudgeon. The reality is we've got one man out there who has funded $1 million for the leading candidate for governor of the state of Missouri in less than 2 years. A few years ago, he funded the Democratic primary campaign for the man who's now state attorney general, who is the leading Democratic candidate for governor. One person, and the court decisions principally coming out of the United States Supreme Court, give these guys no real power to keep one person from virtually being the sole financial source for political candidates in this state, for the governor, the highest office of the state of Missouri. I'm just skeptical that anything this General Assembly can do is going to address that kind of financial influence into the public policy process of this government.
I think it may take an initiative petition in order to get true campaign finance limits. I'm not sure that the legislature, as it's constituted right now, has the will. I agree with Phil. We're probably not going to pass, contribution limits, although it is possible. I've actually had a conversation with Senator Richard, and, you know, he's open to that as long as, you know, certain conditions are met. But I think that the people will speak eventually if the legislature...
Senator, 6 years ago, the man we're talking about, Rex Sinfeld, set up, I think it's 68 separate committees, each contributing the maximum amount, back when campaign contribution limits were in effect, to the attorney general candidate. So campaign contribution limits didn't stop one incredibly wealthy person.
But they could. A little fix in the law to stop a person from having more than one PAC could do that. And there are ways that we can work together to actually do this. And I have some legislation that I'm sort of working on. And, you know, when the time is right, you'll learn about it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm hoping maybe you'll support it, too.
Take a moment to remind our audience, this is Intersection, a program of KBIA and the Reynolds Journalism Institute. I'm Ryan Fumiller. Tonight, we're live from the Rotunda, the state capitol in Jefferson City, where Governor Jay Nixon just gave his State of the State address and House Speaker John Deal gave the Republican response. Joining us to discuss what was said are Senator Rob Schaff, a Republican from St. Joseph, who represents the 34th Senate District, Representative Kip Kendrick, a Democrat from Columbia, who represents the 45th District, and Phil Brooks is the director of the State Government Reporting Program at the Missouri School of Journalism. He's been covering Missouri politics for more than three decades. And for you and our audience, what do you think about Governor Nixon's State of the State address? We'd like to hear what you think. Just go on our website, kbi.org, and follow the link to Intersection. There, you'll find a live video feed of our program and an online chat where you can share your thoughts with us and chat with others in the audience. You can also email intersection at kbia.org or tweet at intersectkbia. Was there any important issues that Governor Nixon didn't talk about tonight?
He didn't talk about the Rams coming. I noticed that was a definite hole in the speech.
Okay. Anything else?
Well, as a KMOX correspondent, yes, the absence of the Rams.
Yeah, is a big deal.
Kind of resonated with me. I think the state government is going to let him leave. Maybe.
Yep. Yeah, and there's also a local vote that would have to happen for that stadium proposal to go through. So there are a lot of things at play in that issue for sure. What also is the point of the speech? And now we talked about this a little bit, but, you know, Governor Nixon, again, has dwindling power to pass things. Again, Republicans can pass things with basically disregarding his veto. So
he's going to have to work with us more, and I believe that he will.
Yeah.
You know, I have to say... I have a lot of affection for Governor Nixon. I think he tries really hard to do a good job, and I like him a lot. And I think his heart's in the right place, although I disagree with him on many political areas. I just have to say that I think we can work with him, especially if he takes a little bit more leadership and comes and works with us.
I'm confident as well. I do believe that the governor is going to make more of an effort to work with both bodies, the House and the Senate, this legislative session. I know that's been a concern of representatives and senators in the past. I'm hopeful that he's going to spend more time here and working with us on both sides of the aisle.
You know what I have found? It has taken for this state to come to a solution. And something as complicated and politically dangerous as the transportation funding issue is the man who's in that office up there on the second floor calling legislators into his office and sitting down at a table and personally negotiating a deal in which everyone can come out and say, hey, we're all into this together. We're all taking the political risk for the solution, whether it be toll roads, tax increase, whatever. That's what it's going to take for something like transportation. I think, gentlemen, we heard a little bit from Jay Nixon that maybe he's willing to begin that kind of engagement that we've seen from people like Warren Hearns, who had covered Kit Bond, Mel Carnahan in particular. We're going to see over the next few months, does he call legislators into his office? Does he go up to third floor, meet privately, and work with these guys to come up with a solution?
I hope that happens very soon, especially on the MoDOT funding. You know, meeting with some MoDOT officials today and seeing, you know, billion-dollar funds to improve infrastructure, road infrastructure around the state, dwindling by 2016, I believe, to $325 million. That, I mean, that's an immediate impact on roads across the state. People will literally feel the lack of funding by the potholes and deteriorating roads. So we can't put off this discussion any further. We can't miss the opportunity to have this discussion now, this session.
But we tried a tax, right? We haven't tried a gas tax recently, and toll roads, many people are very hesitant to bring that up in the legislature.
We tried a sales tax, and listen, I just have to say, the people in Missouri are hurting. They are not going to increase taxes. And I think that you'll be seeing a proposal here before long that might come forward to provide a little bit of leadership on this. Although I can't really talk about that either. But I will tell you that another hole in the speech was he did not talk about MoDOT's Tough Choices Ahead program.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know, a dire
name, right?
I
understand that that MoDOT is planning to only provide services for one state highway through each city in Missouri. Mm-hmm. Well,
about
oh my gosh.
Of state roads, yeah.
You know, like, for example, in St. Joe, we have the Belt Highway. Who's going to plow it and put salt on it and so on? I mean, this would be the equivalent of an unfunded mandate. I just have to say, it's almost an embarrassment to me that MoDOT would say something like that. You know, it's just not acceptable. It just can't happen.
But isn't fiscal conservatism that if you have too great a governmental obligation, rather than go to the taxpayers and ask for more money, you scale back? Shouldn't the transportation department be looking at?
If they don't have the money, what's the option? Yeah.
Well, cutting back on the roads it maintains.
Well, you can cut back only so far. But there needs to be some legislative involvement in whatever cutback is done. I mean, it's got to be just unilaterally by the Highway Commission by itself. And there are some other options that will be coming forward in the future here, I'm just sure. You know, there was another couple of things I noticed that were holes. He didn't talk about a special prosecutor in police shootings. He didn't mention that.
And that's a proposal.
And that's a proposal. And he also didn't mention abolishing the grand jury system. You know, that's another proposal. And he didn't go there. I think that maybe he was a little squeamish about touching onto those issues too heavily.
One other thing that I think caught a lot of people by surprise is that he announced he's planning to go to Cuba. Did anybody know about that before tonight?
You know, I was observing some of the other senators who didn't clap for that, and those that did that are more agriculturally related. You know, there are a lot of people that have a lot of hard feelings about the human rights violations in Cuba, and whether or not, I don't know, that's just a really tough issue.
Representative Kendrick.
At the same time, going to Cuba to expand our agriculture exports also means more food for Cubans as well. So I think that we have to look at that as an economic win potentially for the state of Missouri, for farmers in the state of Missouri, but also for the people of Cuba.
Yeah. Have we ever had a governor go to Cuba, Phil? You know,
back to Warren Earns. I can't remember.
Not that we know.
Yeah, there you go.
I was a little surprised. The governor has been so criticized for flying all over the place almost on a daily basis. Would dump that into a state of the state address, particularly with the controversy about Cuba. I was surprised his staff didn't caution him of, Governor, don't do that. Don't say it. If you do it quietly. Don't make it a big issue. But
right.
I don't know how much of our product Cuba's going to buy, but if he goes, I hope he has success.
Yeah, for those who don't know, what kind of products would he be trying to sell? I mean, I guess rice.
They don't allow the people in Cuba to own cows. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
You can't have cows in Cuba. So they probably don't eat a lot of steak down there because Fidel Castro wouldn't allow the people to have cows.
Oh, you can't eat steak in India.
That's true.
You can't eat steak has in cows in because India. They run free because they're considered religious.
But, you know, we're not going to establish a trade mission to ISIS, you know?
Right.
And I think those are the kinds of feelings that people have.
Right. All right. Well, that's all the time that we have for tonight, so we're going to have to end it there. Thanks so much to all of our guests tonight, Representative Kip Kendrick, Senator Rob Schaaf, and Phil Brooks with the Missouri State Government Reporting Program at the Missouri School of Journalism. We'd like to remind you that you can
Visit KBIA.org for an archive of all of our past programs, including the full hour of today's conversation. Intersections is a broadcast of the Reynolds Journalism Institute and is a project of RJI and KBIA. Intersections produced by Maureen Lewis Stump. Travis McMillan is our technical director with production assistance from Lowell Thomas, Maya Jackson, and Jen Cooper. Engineering assistance from Patrick Nealon. Austin Federer is our audio producer. Executive directors are Mike Dunn and Mike McKean. And I'm Ryan from Nealoner. Thanks for joining us tonight. Have a great week.
And you've been listening to a special broadcast of Intersection on 91.3 FM KBIA.